as a family many years ago, and they had a big Christmas spectacular, and the rockets and all kind of different features. But at the very end, they let down the lights, and this big voice shared with us this one solitary life. And I'll tell you what, it made a tremendous impact on everybody there, including us. Well, we're glad to be here, and glad that Brother Chris invited us to come. In fact, we're going to be back next Sunday, the Lord willing, and I hope maybe some of you can invite some of your friends, and let's kind of get this place a little bit more populated. We're glad you're here, but I hope you'll reach out to some others, and we'll be speaking again next Sunday. And by the way, I'm going to speak on Rip Van Winkle next Sunday, and I'll just let you think about that until, okay? Now, let's bow our heads and have an opening prayer. Father, on this most important Sunday morning, the day that we recognize as your son's birth tomorrow, we're so thankful we can gather. And Lord, we can have our faith in him whom you sent to be our Savior. And I just pray that this will be a special time together as we honor him and as we honor you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk to you today about the Christian caste. And when I say caste, if you know what a cast is, it's all the actors who participate in a play or in a movie. And I want us to think about the Christmas cast of characters, except we won't be talking about the actors and actresses. We'll talk about the actual people. The Christmas cast of characters. Let me read to you the most significant verse, and then we'll talk to you. And so it was that when they were ready, the day of her delivery, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. That's Luke chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. I want to talk to you about the people who were involved. And you need to understand that Christmas, as we have celebrated it for a long time, does not just refer to the birth of the baby, but for the next couple of years after he has been born and is a little child. And all of that is together in the Christmas story. And you'll see that as we proceed. Now, the first thing I want to do is look at the supportive cast. The supportive cast, those who are surrounding the birth of the Lord. First of all, there's Gabriel and the angels. Now, Gabriel is one of at least two archangels that the Bible mentions. I don't know how many archangels there are. I don't even know how many angels by the millions in all likelihood. But the archangel, we have Gabriel and we have Michael, are definitely mentioned in the scripture. And archangel means that they are head angels, head in organization, head in carrying out responsibilities that the angels are to perform. And if you don't believe in angels, I want to tell you, you are in error. Angels are very real. In fact, they were created before us. If you were to look in Job chapter 38 and verse 7, the scripture says that they all sang and applauded and shouted when they saw creation. I've often wondered what it would be like, or what it would have been like, if I could have been somewhere off over here and watched the explosion of creation. All of that galaxy, and all of our particular solar system, and this earth. Man, it would be beyond comprehension what an impression that would make on you. Well, the angels saw that. They were there before us. God created them the first order, and then, of course, we are second. Now, the Bible says that we need to be careful as we wander through life, because we may meet angels unaware. That's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. I have known people who have seen angels, and I don't question their honesty one moment. One is Diane's mother. Not too long ago, before she died, she took me to the place. I was up there. Diane was down here teaching or whatever she was doing. And I was up visiting with Diane's mom. And she took me to the very place where she said, right there is where I saw an angel, a guardian angel for my life. And folks, that woman could be trusted. And I'll tell you something else. I have had the privilege of being at the bedside of several different people just prior to their death, and they have seen angels. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, how about believing Jesus? He said that when Lazarus died, the angels took him into paradise, into Abraham's bosom. So angels are real, and old Gabriel is the one chosen to come to Mary and to give her the news that she was going to be the mother of the Christ child. Now, that's Gabriel. Secondly, let's look at Mary. Mary, a wonderful lady. The Bible says that God showed special favor to her because she was so dedicated, so honest and genuine. And God said through Gabriel, you have found favor with God, and you have been selected to bear the Christ child. Now, I don't want to ever detract from Mary, because she needs to be high in esteem and totally honored. But by the same token, we've made some bad mistakes about Mary. And I know this is the day that everybody's sensitive. And if you say something that they don't like, they get all upset. You know how that is. But let me tell you what. The Catholic Church, not too long after all of the events in the Gospels, the Catholic Church, first of all, formed a pope. And that's not biblical, but anyhow, they have a pope. And here's the error. They claim that he's infallible. He's infallible. Well, there ain't no such thing, people. I don't care who you are, pope or Billy Graham or Virgil Lovett or whoever, nobody's perfect and infallible. My goodness, that's a mistake. And then about Mary, they went ahead and added to the scriptures. You won't find any of this in the scriptures, people. And if you start adding and subtracting, you're on dangerous ground. But here's what they've added about Mary. First of all, Immaculate Conception. You've heard about that, haven't you? Immaculate Conception, which means she was born without original sin. Well, now that poses some questions. What about her mama and daddy, who, you know, brought her into the world? Were they sinless? Or if they were sinful, did that not transfer down as it does to all men? David said, I was born and conceived in sin. We all are. We have original sin. And so there's no such thing as immaculate conception. Which also brings me this question. If that were to be true, what about the brothers and sisters who followed Mary? You do know that Jesus had some half-brothers. James and Jude are two in the scripture. I mean, you can run into some real problems here. And that's a wrong concept, wrong teaching. And not just that, immaculate conception, but they also said that the assumption of Mary, which means that she was taken up like Jesus ascended. And therefore, she was taken up, and just like Jesus, in the same way. Didn't die, ascended into heaven. That's called the assumption. That's wrong. That's wrong. And then, this is the worst, I think. They also assigned to her co-redemptrix, which means co-redeemer. In other words, you pray to Mary. And Mary kind of twists the arm of Jesus and God the Father. Well, the Bible makes it real clear there's only one mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Mary can't represent any of us. While we honor her, and we're thankful for her. She's a great lady. And she's going to receive great rewards, already has. But still, these are erroneous facts that the Catholic Church has propagated all through the years. Now, I know, like I say, some of you may be offended. But folks, listen to me. Do we believe the Bible? Or do we believe what somebody conjures up everywhere? Like the Jehovah's Witnesses, who say that Jesus was created. Come on. Or like the Mormons, who have an entirely different scripture and a different angel, Moroni. My goodness, you can just go crazy if you get outside the scripture. And so, if you're offended, I'm sorry. And then again, I'm not, because I believe the Bible. And we need to get it straight about Mary. She was a good woman. God chose her. But she did not ascend into heaven without dying. She does not represent you in mediation before the Father. And she herself was not born without sin. Immaculate conception. What are we talking about? The supporting cast of the people who are involved in the Christmas story. Now, after Mary, then there is Joseph. What a good man Joseph was. He was the father of the Lord Jesus. And not the biological father, but the parental father of Jesus. And they had other sons and daughters later. He was an exemplary man, without question. And then the shepherds. You remember they were in a field tending their flocks by night when the angel of the Lord appeared, and later the hosts of angels were there, and the announcement was made. The Messiah has come. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And the hosts of heavenly angels began to sing and celebrate, the shepherds. Now, have you ever wondered why the Lord chose shepherds rather than the scholars And rather than the religious hierarchy, and regardless of the political leadership, have you ever wondered why God chose to give the news to the shepherds? And I don't mean to disparage them in any way, but probably smelly, probably hadn't had a bath for several days, and out where among the sheep, just old guys. Yet they're the ones the Lord chose to have Gabriel come and announce the Messiah had been born. I think there are reasons for that. First of all, he didn't choose the intellectuals or the philosophers, because if you've ever seen somebody who's a pain, get around an intellectual. Get around a real educated person who's so proud of what he knows. And he's got to explain everything in detail and add or subtract. Alexander Pope said a long time ago, a little learning is a dangerous thing. You either drink deep in the fountain of knowledge or don't take any sip whatsoever. You know what he was saying? Something that you and I both have observed. There's nothing worse than an intellectual fool, an educated fool. By the way, we're seeing some from Harvard and Princeton and Yale right now, plagiarizing their work and indoctrinating our children. Nothing in the world worse than a little educated fool. So the shepherds were chosen because of their simple and humble faith, and not the educators. My wife spent her career in education. I also was in education. I taught 2 or 3 years in public school. At Trinity, we started the Trinity Christian School because it's better to light a little candle than to curse the darkness. And we were trying to make a difference. And by the way, if you haven't seen the horrible action in education, well, boy, you better wake up. They're indoctrinating kids, transgenders, and all kinds of sexuality, that's perverse sexuality. I mean, just for kids, pornographic literature in the libraries. Folks, I'm not kidding you. This is happening right now in the name of education. I'll tell you what, I don't know where we're going. We'll talk a little bit about that next Sunday if you come back. You may not come back. But anyhow, not the educators, and then not the religious leaders. You know, religion is, notice what I'm going to say now, religion's a bad thing. I'm not talking about a relationship with God. I'm talking about man-made religion. My goodness, some of the worst people I know are in churches. Some are pastors. Jealousy, all kinds of political manipulation. And long as they can hold on to their particular position. Man, sometimes I tell Diane, as we talk about some of the things that are going on, I say to her, my goodness, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be Christians. Why do you think there's a First Baptist, a Second Baptist, a Northside Baptist, whatever Baptist, wherever? You know why? Because people can't get along. They don't love each other as we're supposed to. If you say something that upsets them, that's it. And off they go to get their own little church. Well, God chose not to reveal it to the religious hierarchy. Well, and lastly, not the political leadership. Herod was the political leader in the day. And you know what Brother Herod wanted to do and did do? He put out an edict to kill all children, 2 years and younger. So he'll get rid of that king of the Jews, and he'll have no competition. We'll talk more about this next Sunday if you come, but it's amazing to me how all of these people in the country, in our country, and in our government, and in our paralyzed leadership, sympathy, sympathy, sympathy for the Palestinians and Hamas. And yet they came in and raped women until some of the women died, chopped up the children, and yet here we are marching in defense. And more, the tide's turning against Israel. Brothers, I want to tell you, we got some serious issues here, and I'm glad that the political leadership was not notified about Jesus' birth. Well, the wise men. These are men from Persia. That is today's Iran. Boy, how different it is now, huh? And Iraq. But these wise men that heard old Daniel and old Jeremiah with all the prophecies, Isaiah, unto you is born this day in the city of David. They had known all of those prophecies. Thou Bethlehem, though you be the littlest in Judah, yet from you he will come who is from everlasting to everlasting. Well, these men were on a quest to find Jesus. They knew approximately what time. Why? Because of Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9. Man, I tell you, that's one of the greatest passages of Scripture. It talks about the coming of the Lord, talks about the death of the Lord, and the resurrection. Well, they knew this background. And here they are, searching. They come to old Herod, and they said, he said to them, tell us where you're going, where to find this baby king, so I can also come along and worship. Yeah. Worship like Hamas. Yeah. Well, the wise men were wise, and they didn't say anything. They had a star, same star that had guided the shepherds, same star. About 2 years later, to the house now. There's a house in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph. I don't know where that house came from. Maybe in the family, a relative, but that's where he was, where Jesus was, and they came. I preached a sermon a long time ago when I was a little, I guess, sharper than I am today. Folks, I'm 39, and you know, I'm just not like I used to be. And my body's so different now. You see, my nose is running, and my feet is spilling. It's supposed to be the other way around, you know? But I preached a sermon back then, wise men still come to the Lord. If you're really wise, you will make your peace with God before you draw your last breath. Okay, so those are the supporting cast in the greatest story ever told. Now, here's the last point. I don't know what time it is. I'm having a good time. I don't know about y'all. Here's the second thing. The supporting cast, number one. Number two, the superstar of the cast. Now, you know, they made a movie, and it was on Broadway, Jesus Christ Superstar. Well, brothers, no greater truth has ever been spoken. He is the superstar. And it is He through whom you will go if you're ever saved. Jesus Christ, Superstar. Now, let me just point out two or three little things, and I'll let you go. Here they are, the superstar, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in the manger. And what did they see? Maybe they didn't see everything that was yet to be revealed. But the first thing, when they saw the superstar, they saw the incarnation of God. The incarnation of God. Incarnation simply means the joining together of the divine, God, deity, with human nature, with human flesh. That's what Jesus was, people. He was the incarnation. God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. The incarnation. Well, I think we too long have emphasized the deity or the divinity of Christ, and we have not given the human side the equal treatment that it deserves. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 5, Paul said that Jesus emptied Himself of His divinity so that He could be completely human. He came to save humans. He had to become a human. And we look at Jesus sometimes as though He was never human. Some of the writers back in that day even had Jesus as a little boy throwing stones up in the air, which turned into doves and flew away. And some of the apocryphal writings. See, even as a child, He was supposed to be Superman. Listen, He emptied Himself so He could become like you and me. He was tempted at all points like you and me, and yet without sin. The perfect sacrifice. So they saw the incarnation of God. Secondly, they saw the initiative from God. The initiative from God. The Bible makes it clear in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, God sent Jesus. You need to get this. Sometimes we don't properly treat the Godhead. We either emphasize Jehovah, or we emphasize Jesus, or we emphasize the Holy Spirit. Folks, they are one and the same. The Trinity, God the Father, sent Jesus. And then Jesus said in John chapter 16 that He's going to send the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit. And He's going to guide you and lead you in all truth. I don't mean to be too know-it-all, because I'm not. But when you pray to Jesus, you're praying wrong. I've heard pastors, as they begin to pray, they pray, "Dear Jesus." Listen, Jesus Himself taught us how to pray. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come." God was in Christ. He sent Christ. He took the initiative. Well, what about the most famous verse of all? "For God, the Father, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, don't misunderstand me. You certainly need to pray in Jesus' name. That's also his instruction. Pray in his name. You pray to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, remembering the initiative in that cradle came from God the Father. Okay, here's the final point. I know you're happy. Not only did they see the incarnation of God and the initiative from God, but they also saw the instruction that came from God through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. The truth. Jesus told us the truth about God. Too many people believe that God's a big old Santa Claus up there in a rocking chair, got a beard down to the floor. And you know, just a kind old gentleman. He is the absolute, never-changing, almighty God. But Jesus said, He's spirit. God is spirit. And they who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Man, that's some revelation. That's some instruction from the little baby later as he became an adult. Now, he taught us about God. He taught us about our mankind, our sin, how to be saved from sin. He preached about heaven. He preached about hell. He also told us how to be happy. And he also told us how to serve him. Many folks have never understood. To serve God, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a musician. You don't have to be a deacon. Jesus taught us how to serve God. He said, I was naked, and you visited and clothed me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And one of the disciples said, Lord, why did we see you like that? He says, as often as you do it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Folks, you need to just get out of here and love people, help people, provide for people who need provision, and do it in Jesus' name. That's serving the Lord. Not how loud you sing or how great you preach, or whatever else. That's part of it. But that's a special call. We all have a call to serve the Lord. They learned a lot from that little baby, didn't they? I hope you and I have learned a lot from the Lord Jesus as we celebrate His birthday tomorrow. Well, I just have not a great deal more to say. I think I've said enough, don't you? How many of you have I offended? Raise your hand. Well, good. All right. Well, thank you so much, folks. And I hope to see you again next Sunday. And bring somebody with you. And let's kind of really have a good group. And we're going to talk about, I'll just tell you what we're going to talk about. Rip Van Winkle went to sleep for 20 years before the American Revolution, and he missed everything. America has gone to sleep. I'm going to tell you why we've gone to sleep, and we are reaping what is now happening because we've been asleep. Church has been asleep. Family's been asleep. The government have for certain has gone to sleep. And we're now beginning to reap as a result of our sleep. Okay, let's bow our heads for a final prayer. Father, we thank you so much. And I pray, Lord, not to be offensive, not to turn people off and turn them away, but yet to speak the truth. And thy word is truth. And we need truth today. And we need to live by truth. Thank you, dear Lord, for the folks who've come today. And I pray a special blessing for them. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? I'm finished. Whether you believe it or not, are we going to have an invitation or a closing hymn? Okay.